13.
Yep, me too.
And she was dangerous.
Yes.
I mean, she was dangerous.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. I have the greatest respect for this woman.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to miss her so dearly.
Yeah.
I just hope and pray that she comes back and gives some insight, because she was dynamite.
I think you'll be hearing from her.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And my man, Clay.
Yeah.
We got to get you a spot. Brother, Brother Caldwell.
Well, listen, let me say also, you know, to toot my part of the trumpet, please tune in on Saturday, 10:30
to 1:30. I do. Yeah. I do. Oh, good. I hear you every day.
All
every
right.
Saturday. Every Saturday. Every good. Saturday. I don't miss not one Saturday.
Terrific.
And I tell you another thing, Clay. You got a brother that, I forgot the name of his name. You
my
played him one day.
My sainted little brother, Mark Riley.
No. I'm not talking about this brother. I'm talking about this brother musician. I forgot his name.
You know, Norman.
He's an older guy, and he sings these love songs. I've seen him on channel, I think it was Studio 54. It's a TV station that comes on. I don't know if it's still on.
Oh.
And this guy, he was so bad. He's much older, brother.
Oh, okay.
He sings these love songs, and you played them one day. And I'm tired of being frisky, but me and my old lady, and boy, we got to turn the radio down here.
Hey,
Marjorie, I love you. You're great, and I have a lot of respect for you. And my man, Paul.
Yeah, Paul just stepped out for a moment.
You tell Paul on the money.
All right.
I can sit down with him any day and have a good conversation. And BAI is number one. I said, y'all, I'm a member. Yes, ma'am, I'm a member.
Thanks,
and I'm
going
to continue to support y'all
because
I love y'all. And this is the only station I listen to, basically. Okay, when I ain't want to listen to any music, I listen to you guys.
Thank you very much.
Peace and love.
All right,
and
we're gonna,
success.
Sam, thank you so much. We're going to have news at 7 in just about two more minutes.
Okay, baby, take it easy.
It is 7:01, right. 7:02 now. And you're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM, your Pacifica station in New York City. And it is 99.5. And Sam, it's the only station you listen to. Boy, do I feel a responsibility there.
Yeah.
All right. Good morning. We're going to take a couple of calls until Paul comes in with the news headlines. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. Oh,
good morning, Marjorie. Good morning, Clayton.
Who is
Hello.
This?
Is there a fun set up for you, Therese?
No,
Listen.
I'm very disappointed in her leaving, but
but
that's her choice. Fine.
But she's going.
But I'd like to send some money for her.
Oh, this
okay?
is great. All right.
Peace.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that's a thought.
May we note that we're joined by Andrea Clark.
All right. Yeah. Now, that's right, TWF.
But see, when you note that, shift. You could have called glaring attention to the fact that I just came in.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah.
You know,
no, it's not.
The shift changed, right?
Yeah.
7 o'clock. Everybody understands
not
where the
anyway,
workplace
but
are.
Thank you, Clayton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I yell at them, too, when the engineers, when they're on at 5:30 or something, a quarter of six, and they go, I think Marjorie's coming. And
right.
I go, oh, God.
So may I add then my bad.
No. You're just being clear and honest.
Yeah.
But thank you, Clayton.
All right.
And good morning,
Andrea. Good morning.
All right. Let's take another caller and give folks an opportunity. This is WBAI. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, Marjorie. This is Jerome.
Hey, Jerome.
How are you?
Good, and you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
I'm not sorry to hear about Utrice resigning, and I'll tell you the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
She has a plan, just like she had a plan when she stepped into this mess that was going on.
Yeah.
Just like I feel everybody else there has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say something. In the beginning, I didn't particularly care for a lot of things that a lot of the people there was doing. But you all have taught me something, and what you taught me really helped me be able to deal with what happened on September 11th also. And I'd like to commend all of you for it. You all have taught me that in spite of change, you cannot depend on mankind for everything.
That's right.
Mankind is mankind, and in mankind, they will do wrong as well as they will do right.
Mm-hmm.
You as an individual have to search for the truth, have to search for what is right, have to search for what is going to make you progress as a human being. Clayton used to play a song. I forgot the name of it, but he started playing it right after Samori Marksman had passed away.
Yes.
And I think it was by Nirvana. and
Nirvana Lounge, yeah.
Nirvana Lounge, yeah. I love that. I love that CD, Clayton. Man, I play it all the time.
All right.
And one of the ones was about after you have died, you would be able. People would be able to say that you have been a great, great person or something like that. I played remember it. But anyway, I just want to tell you all that, you know, don't worry. Things are going to be just fine.
Oh, yeah.
The station is going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wish in my heart, and I'm hoping and praying that sometime soon everybody will be able to realize that when you start knocking off your friends or your associates, as you knock them off, eventually you're going to be left with nothing and you're going to be the only one standing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to survive in a world with no friends. It will become very lonely for you.
All right,
Jerome. I really wish that people would start to see and be able to accept that, hey, this is a part of life. We're not necessarily going to agree on everything, but let's be able to talk about our differences, try to work them out, and if we can't, let's move on and still remain friends.
All right.
For the better end of things.
Thank you
for calling.
Yeah, thank you, Jerome.
Yeah,
the engineers have to learn they do not control the phone calls. We're still in training. 706 at WBAI 99.5 FM. Paul DiRienzo is here with our news headlines. We're going to turn to those. And then we're going to come back to you, listeners, and probably just move right through so we can hear your comments. So hang on.
Thank you. You're listening to the news on WBAI Pacifica Radio in New York. I'm Paul DiRienzo. Pakistan Today dismissed a United States newspaper report that Saudi-born militant Osama bin Laden had crossed into the country from neighboring Afghanistan, where the United States-led coalition forces are hunting him. The Christian Science Monitor said yesterday that bin Laden had escaped the Tora Bora base in eastern Afghanistan to Pakistan 10 days ago with the help of tribesmen. That's according to a senior al-Qaeda operative and Saudi financier by the name of Abu Jafar. The U.S. intelligence officials, on condition of anonymity, told Reuters that bin Laden was, quote, believed to be in the vicinity of the Tora Bora area. You could get a look today at what is said to be the most clear-cut evidence against Osama bin Laden yet, a videotape showing him celebrating the World Trade Center attack. The tape is expected to be released by the Pentagon. It shows bin Laden having dinner with a Saudi sheikh. And there's been a dramatic escalation of U.S. airstrikes on Tora Bora. That's where Osama bin Laden's hardcore fighters in Afghanistan are making their last stand. An alliance commander says enemy fighters have run out of food and ammo and are about to be finished. That's a quote. Advance parties of United States Marines are due at the airport in Kandahar today or tomorrow. They'll be scouting it out in advance of a major repair job so it can be used by humanitarian relief flights. The Afghan city was liberated from the Taliban last week. And the four crewmen on an American B-1B bomber had a wild ride over the Indian Ocean yesterday. They bailed out after their jet went out of control en route to a bombing run over Afghanistan. All were rescued safely from the waters below. And aides say President Bush this morning is going to announce he's pulling the U.S. out of the 1972 anti-ballistic missile treaty. Bush sees it as an obstacle to the planned U.S. missile defense shield. Russia calls his action regrettable. And here, closer to home, the September 11th Fund says it'll start distributing $75 million by the end of the month. Grants of $10,000 will be given to the 3,000 families of people killed or injured in the attacks. Some 20,000 people who lost jobs or homes in Lower Manhattan will receive $2,500 payments. An alleged white supremacist is in protective custody in jail today after he was convicted for the attempted murder of two Mexican day laborers. Ryan Wagner of Queens was convicted by a Long Island jury of attempted murder, assault, and aggravated harassment. Wagner could face up to 50 years in prison for the September 2000 beatings. Mayor Giuliani says he'll be working for himself once he leaves City Hall. Giuliani says he wants to start his own consulting firm to advise businesses on management, strategic planning, and investments. He'll reportedly take several key aides with him. And engineers studying the World Trade Center disaster say inadequate fireproofing may have contributed to its collapse. Fire safety expert Frederick Mower says that inspections during the 1990s indicate that some of the steel rods supporting the floors of the towers weren't covered with enough fireproofing insulation. And a former accountant for Governor George Pataki's campaign committee has admitted to stealing more than $200,000 from the governor's war chest. Lawrence Kalkstein of Montrose also confessed to taking $460,000 from the village of Tuckahoe when he was treasurer there and $40,000 from three private clients. And finally, sometimes art imitates life and other times life mocks art. That sadly has become the case for a young man who appeared in a TV movie with Oprah Winfrey. In the 1993 movie There Are No Children Here, Mark Lake Jr. portrayed a young man who overcame the lure of gang life with the help of his mom, played by Winfrey. Unfortunately, in real life, the lure of the streets proved too strong for Lane. Police in Chicago say he was shot to death in a gang-related murder 2 days before Thanksgiving. A spokeswoman for Winfrey says the talk show host would have no comment on Lane's death, but the man who wrote the book upon which the TV movie was based says Lane was a victim of the same type of violence portrayed in the movie. I'm Paul DiRienzo for the WBAI News Department. Back to Marjorie Moore and WBAI's Sunrise. I used to call it Sunshine.
Sunshine. We're happy
busier
today.
A ray of sunshine.
We are. We're hopeful, and we're going to remain that way. I was just looking at something in Friday, December 7th, Christian Science Monitor. Americans see religion as gaining clout in public life. Suddenly, a big majority of the public sees religion as a more influential player. I'm just going to give you a little bit of this. For the first time in almost half a century, a substantial majority of Americans see religion as gaining influence in public life. The shift in public perception is both sudden and dramatic. The number of Americans who say religion now has a higher profile in society has more than doubled just since the beginning of this year, a leap that can probably be attributed, at least in part, to September 11th and its aftermath. The viewpoint, which according to a nationwide survey released in December, jumped dramatically from 37% in March to 78% in November, is shared by virtually all demographic and religious groupings. And this is a quote from Charles Haynes, who is the head of the Freedom Forum First Amendment Center. He says, "The widespread influence of religion is now more visible and more welcome and more diverse than at any other time." So I just thought I'd bring that to your attention, that there is a lot of opportunity. A lot of things are shifting. People are changing. I consider it an opening up, actually, myself. A couple of other things, Clayton. I just wanted to remind people that I know we're talking about a lot of topics here this morning, but I want to keep our attention on our city budget. And hopefully, Clayton, you and I will come on the air and do something more specific about what's going on with the city budget, because I'm looking at something from City Limits magazine regarding tenants, and the headline is, "Tenants are on their own in court unless the budget budges." And they are removing, they've removed $397,000 from a community consultant program that helps people in court. They've taken $9 million from the Department of Youth and Community Development, including 50% in every city council member gets a certain amount of money that they can just sort of hand out to groups, small groups who really don't know how to write proposals, but we know they're doing good work. That money, 50% of that money is being taken back. And $902,000 is being removed from the Department of Homeless Services Family Rental Assistance Program. That's just a couple of things, but it goes on and on and on. And maybe next week we could spend a couple of days, get some people in who understand
Very
the budget
good idea.
Process
yeah.
and mm-hmm. really help people see where you can connect with the process, whether it's in your local community board, mm-hmm. getting on some committees, who you need to be calling to make sure that all of our money doesn't go in yeah. one direction.
Marjorie, I think the point you're making is quite important also, because there are times, I'm afraid, when people here tend to drift away from what ought to be, again, part of the mission.
Mm-hmm.
This is New York City.
Right.
We are a New York City station, and paying attention to issues such as the one you just raised is vital. I mean, the people who live in this city have been forced, in a sense, to depend on media outlets that do not serve their interests and don't make any pretense at doing so.
That's right.
And that is why I think the work we're doing in that particular regard. What goes on in this city for the people who live here? All five of the boroughs. And we have to lean on that.
Yeah.
I had a conversation recently with someone who's been living here, if I'm not mistaken, said 3-4 years, didn't know what the boroughs were. The boroughs.
Right.
What is that? You know, for example, in New Orleans, the equivalent in Louisiana, mm-hmm. the equivalent of a borough is a parish.
Right.
Throughout the state, actually. But I mean, the nuts and bolts issues, the construct of the city. How does our Board of Education actually function?
Yeah.
An organization that has a budget now veering toward $13 billion a year,
mm-hmm.
and our children are not being taught to read.
Absolutely.
Those are bedrock issues. You know, you've done a lot of work recently
mm-hmm.
On the issue of children's services.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does that really mean?
That's right. I think we're going to be very fortunate in having Dennis Walcott.
Yes, I agree.
Do you know
Dennis? I know Dennis for many years,
yeah.
And he often appeared with me on when I was broadcasting in Inner City. And what
Dennis
I like about...
recently appointed...
As a deputy mayor.
Mayor, right.
What I like about the appointment is that the thing that you have to... know about Dennis
mm-hmm.
is that in a very, very, how should I put it? Dennis is city. He is not urban. He is not big town.
Mm-hmm.
He is New York City. He understands the particulars of where we live in each of the boroughs. You know, I mean, in his work with the Urban League, of course.
Yeah.
He had to have outreach into all the areas of the city.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that he is not being appointed, I think, by Bloomberg, mm-hmm. and I think he's probably made it clear. I don't want to be your deputy mayor for, quote, minority issues.
Right.
I want to be able to speak on all the issues that affect people in the city. I think
mm-hmm.
it's an excellent appointment.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I have to say, too, you know, people think what they want about the Urban League and the National Urban League. I come out of the National
okay.
Urban League, and I think they do a good job of preparing people to work
mm-hmm.
At this grassroots level. I remember just traveling around from conference to conference, listening,
yeah,
and you hear just a breath of issues broken down into their impact
mm-hmm.
on communities of color, and you learn so much and you see so much. And Dennis comes out of that, and then he was on the Board of Ed for
yes,
a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's someone that we'll have access to, and he'll help us figure our way through these complicated bureaucracies.
Indeed.
All right.
I agree.
This is Clayton Riley is here. I'm Marjorie Moore. The show is Sunrise. Clark is on the board, and it's 7:18 in the morning. The station, 99.5 FM in New York City. Caller, you are on. Good morning. Hello? Are you there? They're there with the radio going. We'll go to the next call. Good morning. Are you there? Hello?
Good morning.
Well,
yes,
you're on the air.
You read an article celebrating a religious revival in America. Previously, you had tried to distinguish supposedly between religion and spirituality, counterposing these two concepts. Bush, with his faith-based initiative, this is a right-wing push, and the co-opting of the hysteria around 9/11, the flag-waving, the orgy of flag-waving.
Look, buddy, look, why don't you get off of the, you know, you're just slinging
around. You brought
around.
Up religion. You
no,
said it's a
no,
great
no,
day.
Hold, turn him down, Andrea,
and,
please.
And,
turn him down. No, you, first of all, no, I didn't say anything. I just reported something that was in the paper to you. This is a guy who, these people who call up not to have a conversation, not to learn anything new, not to hear what anybody else is saying, it's a waste of time to me. It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
We're going to move on.
Very good idea.
Good morning. You're on the air. Hello? For some reason, I'm not hearing through my phone.
Yeah, here we are. Hello? Yeah, I think we may be getting some of that dissident interference with our calls this morning as well. Yeah. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Josh. I'm a long, long time listener, and this is the first time I've called and commented in the last year and a half. I have been listening, and also, as some previous callers, been uncertain as to how to evaluate events. But what has always been my benchmark has been what I've heard on the radio and the quality of programming. And this is just my personal response to what I've heard. I think that the loss of three Polk Award-winning journalists and some others has resulted for me in a diminution of the quality of the program.
Who's the third Polk Award winner?
Well, I thought it was Amy Wan and Robert Knight.
Yeah.
And including some others,
mm-hmm.
Bob Lederer and the Building Bridges team.
Josh, may I say something? Because we don't have a lot of time before we leave here this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I said earlier, and Marjorie has expressed a great deal of disturbance about this, and I just want to make this point. When you speak of these things, I have to submit to you that you have heard their side of the story about their dismissal. And
please,
I will say
I
to Josh,
talking about
Josh,
the dismissal,
Josh,
I'm talking about the programming.
Okay, Josh, what I'm saying is the programming is no longer here in the regard that you're expressing it for very legitimate reasons.
And I'm not commenting on that. I'm not making a value judgment on that.
Well, you obviously are when
you
say...
No, I'm making a value judgment on what I'm talking about, the quality of programming.
Mm-hmm.
I will not comment on the basis of their dismissal because I really don't know.
Why did you bring them up?
I brought it up in relation to...
Why did you bring them up?
I brought them up because these were programs that had meaning to me over the years.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
That's good.
And so... Utrecht always made the standard what you hear on the radio, and I always agreed with that.
Mm-hmm.
I never agreed that programming was to be the personal fiefdom of any individual.
All right.
It was never to me that this was a program of a particular person.
Mm-hmm.
That was not of import to me. And my comments that I began with, and if they were misinterpreted, perhaps I didn't speak well.
Josh, please make your point so we can take another call.
My point was...
It's okay to have your opinion.
My point was just from my standpoint...
Yes.
...that programming to me has not been of the same quality.
Okay, thank you for sharing that with us.
Well,
let's move on. Good morning. Thank you so much. It's 7:22. We can get maybe one or two more people in. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm afraid I think the programming has been both in some cases better and in some cases not better.
Okay.
I think Paul shouldn't talk about the things that he feels on the air because people must have other opinions. I like Paul. I don't think everything he said was necessarily the way it is, but the way he felt it was.
But how else could he express himself?
Oh, yeah, but it's not the truth, the way he keeps saying there's one truth.
I did not hear Paul say that.
He didn't say that.
I didn't hear Paul use the term, the truth.
He said who lied and who didn't lie.
In his opinion. In his view.
He said who lied, Clayton.
He said in...
You don't always know who lied.
He said in his view.
It's 7:23.
In his opinion.
And we have to be out by... Thank you, Andrea. We have to be out by 7:24. We have another show
coming up. The dissidents are waking up now.
They're all awake.
They weren't up earlier, except for Howie. Never
all right. Well, let me just thank Clayton Riley for being here on Sunrise.
My great pleasure.
This morning. Thank you so much. And Clayton will come back a lot, I think, if I ask him, and I'm going to ask him.
All right.
And thank you, Clayton. It's been a pleasure. And thank you, Paul, very
much.
Thank
you, Marjorie, for giving me this opportunity.
Well, it's great fun.
Continue, let him talk.
Let him have it.
The version of Let Him Talk called Let Him Have It.
Yeah, I love working like in a team. I love being on the air with all my colleagues. It's a lot of fun. And thank you, Andrea Clark, for her great engineering this morning.
You're welcome.
And Andrea comes on. Give your sister from another planet.
I'll be on tonight, technically tomorrow morning, 3:30 to 6:00.
Okay.
So I'll be on before you tomorrow.
She does dynamite music. Oh, right before me.
Yeah.
Oh, then maybe I can just chill out on the music because Andrea has it under control.
Thanks.
All right, folks. I want you to stay tuned. It is 7:24 in the morning. WBAI This Morning will be up in just a few minutes. And, you know, as always, you can get a copy of every day's program of Sunrise at 1-888-31-RADIO, 1-888-31-RADIO. And my voicemail is 212-209-2819. The email is wbaisunrise@aol.com. I look forward to hearing from all of you. Have a beautiful day and remain hopeful.
Thank you to Marjorie Moore for Sunrise. and Clayton Riley. Get ready for This Morning with Santiago Nieves. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Stay tuned.
Come to Kwanzaa 2001, presented by the Medgar's College Student Government Association, the Betty Shabazz Center for Global Studies, the People of the Sun Middle Passage Collective, and Akeem Productions on Saturday, December 15th at the Medgar's College Gymnasium, located at 1150 Carroll Street in Brooklyn. Enjoy performances by Shanto, George Edward Tate, Cheryl Byron and Something Positive, among others, and shop at the African Marketplace for gifts. That's Kwanzaa 2001 at the Mega Evers College Gymnasium, 1150 Carroll Street in Brooklyn. For more information, please call Akeem at 718-270-4902. 718-270-4902. Be there.
Happy man. I heard that rooster. El Gallo, 7:32 in the morning. Welcome to WBAI This Morning. Thank you for letting WBAI start off your day. This is WBAI This Morning, and I'm your host, Santiago Nieves. It's Thursday, December 13th, 2001. Paul D'Arienzo's on his way here with the news and weather throughout the morning at 7, 8, and 9:55. We're both here every morning, Monday through Friday, spirits willing, from 7:30 in the morning until 10 a.m. And Paul, as I said, is on his way. Before we get going, by the way, a few important notes. If you're traveling by car this morning, it's official gridlock throughout much of New York's metropolitan area and throughout the state, as a matter of fact, the tri-state, rather, gridlock region. So gridlock alert this morning. You might want to get an early start if you're driving. I know a lot of you listen to us by car, speaking of which, if you have your cell phone and you don't know it yet, lots of people are calling us. They're getting $100 tickets. It is illegal in New York not to use that little headset thing, you know. So don't put that phone to your ear when you're driving. It's $100 at least. $100 a shot, and they're serious about it in this Giuliani administration. Anyway, by contrast, the MTA and other media report that public transportation is normal today. That's subways and buses for the most part. And so I guess if you got your car, since it's alternate side of the street parking, you might want to move the car over to the other side and run over to the subway. That's kind of what I used to do. That's what a lot of us do now, right? Not to get the car into the city anyway. So that's the best way to get going around the city today. The suggested alternative sources of transportation, after all, this is WBAI, is bicycle and a new thing called defeat. You may want to get your feet ready and just walk around. On today's show, the new city council, 38 of them, count them, 38. That's a total, that's in a total of 51 members. So this really is a new city council in many ways. What are they going to do collectively? And what are each of the members going to do for us? How are they going to earn our support if we didn't vote for them or prove that we made the right move in voting for them? Yesterday, Our first guest here, new city council members, was Charles Barron. We got a great response, and we thank him on for kicking off this series. Today, the first Asian American elected to the city council, John Liu, is going to join us, and he's coming into the studio around 8 o'clock, 8:15 this morning, and I can hardly wait for what he has to say. As a matter of fact, I, as a reporter who have been covering the city hall scene for over 20 years, thought I was somehow misinformed or thought that I was reading it wrong when I read that he was the first Asian American. I thought it couldn't be in the city. And it proved a lot of things I'm going to talk to John about. Among other things, a stereotype I think that we have, and a whole issue about empowerment. And what is diversity out there, really? Because John Liu does represent a very diverse Flushing and Flushing Meadows and Auburndale and Whitestone. There are African Americans. There are Asian, of course. There was a Latino, as a matter of fact, Flores on the Independent Party running against him. So, a real interesting race in Queens, and the first Asian American who won that race in Queens, now a member of this new city council, John Liu, is going to join us around 8 o'clock, 8:15 this morning. As soon as he gets here, he wanted to come into the studio live, so he's on his way. And I hope he took our advice and didn't take the car and took the subway over here. Also, on a very important note, Vieques, that's important to both our Latino and Puerto Rican listenership and to everyone and all those people who are interested to the end of colonialism in our modern day. The mayor of Vieques, Puerto Rico, was released from federal detention the day before yesterday after serving a 120-day sentence for trespassing on military lands to protest U.S. Navy bombing on the island of on the Puerto Rican island. Boy, move over, Reverend Sharpton. That is a long haul. The sentence given to his name is Damaso Serrano was the longest handed down by the federal courts to a first-time offender, arrested during the Vieques protests. I feel strengthened, he said, and I will continue to fight to get the Navy out of Vieques. Serrano said he was greeted by about 100 well-wishers outside the federal detention center in suburban Guaynabo, a beautiful town in Puerto Rico. In August, U.S. District Court Judge Jesus Castellanos argued that Serrano, as the island's leader, was inciting others to commit crimes by trespassing on Navy property during bombing exercise in late April. That was an interesting story. I called the mayor yesterday, and he's going to join us live this morning, a bit later this morning, right after the news. So I wonder what he has to say about that long haul and what is happening around Vieques, especially soon after the September 11th issue. It has not been the best news for Vieques, to the extent that now it doesn't seem that many people are screaming against the Army or Navy being there, as they are not screaming as much against those who are committing racial profiling, you know, using kind of September 11th as a kind of way to get away from the issues that is still here before September 11th they were here and after September 11th. 7:38 in the morning. Paul is coming up with the news at 7:55, our first full news and weather. I'm going to give it to him. Before we do that, let me just quickly tell you what's in the headlines. I'm going to take a break, and when we return, we'll continue, of course, with Paul at the news helm here. In the daily news, Gotham, changing a great deal from what we've had in the headlines, perhaps one of the first headlines in the daily news that is getting away very much from both local issues, Big Eye, or the war, and that is Gotham in a big picture, this time in black and white, of Yanks announcing Giambi deal today, talking about another multi-million dollar deal, and inside it says, just win, Jason, forgive me, that's the wrong... see pages 2 and 3 in sports, forgive me. That's the sports piece. Got them. Okay, in front page of the Daily News. We're going to get into the meat and potatoes of it in just a minute. Paul is arriving. In the New York Post, ambushed, attack kills 10 Israelis, tanks roll into the West Bank, Arafat links severed. And that is the front page of the New York Post. In the New York Times, Israel breaks with Arafat after Palestinian assault on bus in West Bank kills 10. It could not be worse, it seems to me, in modern day, and I'm going to share this with Paul because I want to get his take on this, but it certainly seems to me that we have been through many situations, Paul, I don't want to escalate this, nor do I want to speculate and be responsible here about where we're going with this, but it certainly seems to me, let me put it this way, it certainly seems to me that there are a great deal of warring in many parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not defining it in those dirty three little words like
maybe
World War III, but
Third World War. In case.
Yeah, and but again, things could not be seem to be worse in the Mideast. Our own Mideast expert Hussein Ibis responding when I asked him about the peace process, saying what peace process, and that was before all of this horrific continuing. Violence in both Israel and the Palestinians. Again, I think it is all about land. And Paul, unless that's resolved, I don't see any end to it.
I think you have a good point there. There's not enough information around as to for people to make intelligent decisions, and so they're making decisions based on the information they have. And if people are not informed. Not only informed of the current situation, but informed of the history and the historical context these events are happening in, they're not going to be able to make the, they're going to be victims of the propaganda machine that's coming out of the Gray Lady, the New York Times, Washington Post, and the rest of the media establishment. Not to say that good information and good sources aren't created through these newspapers, but personally, I like to read the British papers. I think I get better information from the Independent.
Yeah.
And I fear that Americans are naively stepping into the same shoes that the British had in their empire 100 years ago, and are going to make the same mistakes.
Oh, that's actually well put, and also...
And look at Britain today. Yeah. It didn't help them in the end.
Yeah, well, again, this kind of violence is what often draws the line between getting to the table and talking, and it seems clearly that that's what Israel was looking for and has been able to do, which is we're not talking anymore. Now it's about fight back, and fight back is, as far as I know, throughout history... gets nothing else in return but fight back.
Well, you know, I saw this report the other day. I think it was on, the Sunday talk shows. And, you know, I'm getting the impression, maybe it was in the paper, you know, it's sort of a fog now back over the weekend. But, you know, the Bush administration has obviously decided to take the tack of we're going to, you know, crush all opposition militarily. We're going to take the imperialistic... heavy-duty military, destroy our enemies, kill every single person who opposes us, destroy and militarily crush any country that dares to disagree with us. And this is pretty much being not just my opinion, but openly what's being stated as the foreign policy of the government under our unelected president. And today, I believe... we're 1 year now. It's been since an election. About today or tomorrow, I think, is the anniversary of the final decision in that election a year ago. 1 year since we had an unelected president decided by the United States Supreme Court, one vote. So, I think it's behooves us to think carefully when we see the intellectual New York Times in its book review putting a picture of Teddy Roosevelt on the cover of the book review and reviewing a book about the life of Teddy Roosevelt and saying that Teddy Roosevelt's policies are the policies the United States should follow. Teddy Roosevelt, a man who invented American imperialism, you know, who went around and crushed the Spanish in the name of freeing Puerto Rico from the U.S.
Are we covering Vieques today? You know, are we having the mayor on this morning? I hear you loud and clear.
It was, you know, Teddy Roosevelt who rode the Rough Riders up to the top of San Juan Hill and then went on to build a presidential career based on those exploits.
And what was the cry up San Juan Hill?
I don't know. What was it?
Remember the Maine.
Remember the Maine, right. A phony Well, it turns out to be a phony attack.
Talk about understanding things in a historical context.
Exactly. And so, we have to say that, George Bush is now claiming, and the New York Times is claiming that George Bush is the new Teddy Roosevelt. Is he going to then interfere with the Colombian government to split off a new country out of Colombia the way that Teddy Roosevelt did and created Panama? And is he going to invade Haiti? Is he going to invade the countries that Teddy Roosevelt invaded? And then Teddy Roosevelt, who after his presidency went on to make speeches on the eve of World War I of the most jingoistic and narrow-minded, xenophobic,
like father, like son,
warmongering, and homophobic to say that peace activists and people who weren't in favor of going into World War One were sexually inadequate or gay or these kind of statements
that's
he made.
Right. That's right.
At
that's
that
right.
time in his public speeches.
You make me proud, Paul.
I know my history.
Good for you, and that's exactly right. Or rather, a little bit of an irony that the teddy bear. Sweetie little teddy bear.
Which they
heard
they dropped
his name
him on
after teddy.
They put them in packages to the children of Afghanistan, little teddy bears.
Wow.
Teddy Roosevelt.
When you
bears.
Understand the history, it's like there's a convolution.
When I saw that,
here.
I couldn't believe it. And then goodness. I opened the New York Times book review, and they're lauding Teddy Roosevelt as this great president, I guess he was a great president from he was president at the time when all little steel companies formed U.S. Steel and all little auto companies formed General Motors. The huge corporate megalith of America that we know today was first hammered together under the leadership of Teddy Roosevelt.
Well, again, since we mentioned Puerto Rico, San Juan Hill, remember the Maine. Maybe we'll ask him about it as well. Damaso Serrano is going to join us live, hopefully by phone. We had a little bit of phone difficulty last night getting to him, but I hope we won't. This morning, a mayor that was arrested in Vieques did 120 days, I think the longest ever for. So we'll see. And ask him also about maybe Teddy Roosevelt and all of that.
Yeah.
But clearly around the issue. Clearly around the issue of colonialism within the context of Vieques. I mean, Puerto Rico remains the last vestigial, one could say, colonial entity that and belongs to the U.S. It should not be. It should not be Puerto Rico's the U.S.'s backyard.
It's so interesting how the world has changed so much in such a short period of time. Globalization before September 11th was the call. Globalization being basically almost almost on the surface of a benign world conquest through economic power, that America would conquer the world, but it would do it peacefully through its economic power. And it turns, now we're talking about imperialism. We're back to the original word before they softened it to globalization, Now we're into imperialism.
Exactly.
And that's going to be tougher for people to unite around.
Exactly.
Fighting.
Also, two important issues, and I know you're going to tackle them as well. We're going to talk about them more is, I guess what's good for the goose is good for the JDL. I'm not sure.
We're going to cover that. We got a story on that coming up.
Let's tell. Give them a lead if people don't understand. If you thought terrorism was only unique to the Palestinians and quote-unquote Arabs, listen to the story. The friendly JDL is around the corner doing their friendly kind of violence and terrorism as well. And utter thuggery.
Could I take a moment to tell you our JDL story, our BAI, very own BAI JDL story?
Oh, God.
There's two of them. Yeah. Back in 1968, our studios were actually attacked by armed thugs of the JDL who smashed through the door and tried to attack the station. But we had another incident that
was... Give me that bell.
Was very interesting.
We may need
with the JDL. There's numerous incidents. I mean, I could tell you that, for example, the International Action Center, Revolution Books, and Stanley Cohen, our intrepid and bulldog lawyer who defends Hamas and many other very unpopular groups because he believes that everybody should get justice, have all been threatened in just the last few days by the JDL, direct threats against them for their points of view in support of the Palestinian people. So that's a thing that's happened recently. But also back a couple of years ago, there was a division in the JDL between the JDL and another organization called the Jewish Defense Organization, which is headed by Mordecai Levy here in New York, man I've met and know, I've interviewed. And I wouldn't say anything about these guys personally. They're so sensitive, I don't even say anything about them personally, because what happened was Irv Rubin, who's head of the JDL, was on his radio show in Los Angeles, and I guess the story is Mordecai Levy called up and made a disparaging comment about his wife. And in return, Irv, I'm told, made a claim that we're going to get you. And some few days later, two armed men appeared in front of Mordecai's apartment on Bleecker Street, number 6 Bleecker Street, across the street from our friends, and started threatening Mordecai to come out of the building, and we're going to get his just desserts. At which point, Mordecai, who was armed to the teeth, ran up to the roof of the building and started wildly firing with a rifle into the street below.
Oh, that's nice.
Thinking that his life was about in danger, accidentally shooting a truck driver who happened to be parked at the light. So, of course, the police responded with a tank, and they brought a tank onto Bleecker Street.
Really?
Oh, yeah, a tank. The New York City Police Department has a tank. It's painted blue and white. It's a tank. And they drove up with the tank and with armed men, and they surrounded the area, and they got Morty out. And my understanding was he was sentenced to 2 years in prison. I don't know if he ever went to jail. But the folks who did it allegedly did it on behest of Irv Rubin, who's the guy who's now in jail, charged with allegedly planning to bomb a mosque and to murder a Lebanese congressman.
Wow. We're talking about, by the way, JDL Chairman Irv Rubin, 56, and Earl Krugel, 59. They were arrested Tuesday night, and they were charged yesterday with plotting to blow up a Los Angeles mosque, and I'll let you give more of the details later, but that's the guy's name. And also...
Remember Malcolm X's daughter, Kubila?
Of course.
There was a JDL, a government informant who infiltrated the JDL and the Jewish Defense Organization, who was the informant who tried to have set up Kubila Shabazz for an alleged plot to assassinate the Nation of Islam leader.
And the one who made headline news often in New York, who was assassinated here, the former head
Meir
of the JDL,
Kahana.
Meir Kahana.
He was assassinated by, El Said Nosseir was charged with it, and he was acquitted at trial, actually. Believe it or not, and he was later convicted of some other charges because it turns out they were all like later. The Sheikh Rahman, the person whose son was allegedly arrested working with Bin Laden, and who's now doing life in prison in New York for an alleged plot to blow up the World Trade Center, blah blah blah, back in the mid '90s, was allegedly associated with El Said Nosseir. And was part of that whole conspiracy, so it's all linked. But he was never convicted, so nobody's actually been convicted of the crime of shooting Meir Kahana.
Well, also the story you're going to cover today, front page news, and it's certainly connected. The suspected terrorist, Zacharias Moussaoui, is going to court today as we speak, as a matter of fact. Might be this morning. And we'll see what happens in court. Arrested for his part as a, I don't know what the technical word for it is. I'll let you.
We have a news story about that. We have a brief headline thing on that.
But so certainly we'll as a part of the World Trade Center.
He's got a new lawyer.
The plot of the World Trade Center. He's got a new lawyer.
It's
now we're talking
it's
about
really
the JDL.
Detailed,
about Israel here now cutting off with Arafat after this horrific bombing. Bad state of affairs, for sure. I think we need our Mideast expert to come on in tomorrow and make some sense
sort
of it for us, sort it all out.
And maybe we could get, I'm thinking maybe we should get somebody who's an expert on the world, the Israeli, the dark side of this sort of extremist Jewish right-wing movement.
Yes.
This right-wing Zionist movement that Irv Rubin and Mordecai Levy are involved in. Maybe we can get Morty on, I don't know, to talk about what's going on with these folks.
Yeah, and
they're as whacked out as anybody.
Yeah, and if they can, we'll call Dov Heitken.
Dov's all right. He actually, when I have to say that Dov Heitken really came out very critical of the police after the Amadou Diallo shooting.
Is he still in, by the way? Is any Dov Heitken?
I don't remember. I
think
remember
he still
had
his seat.
He still had it one more until next term, because, you know, term limits. I don't know if he had to leave.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting,
his wife,
though.
Usually, these guys are running their wives and stuff for the job, so keep it in the family, so to speak. But I don't know if that's true with him. But, I have to say, Dov, you know, I don't agree with his politics, but he has come out on a couple of times and made some pretty progressive statements about attacks on black people by the police and stuff, which were not asked for. So, you know, I'll give him credit for credit's due. You know, I'll give the devil his due.
I'll take that.
Okay.
I'll take that. 7:53 in the morning, and it's 7:54. Paul's coming up. with the news. You know, just very quickly, Paul, before you hit the news, it seems like, again, Governor-elect Jim McGreevy, who we had on the show yesterday, all of a sudden is doing a great deal of media. Here he is with Pataki and Giuliani and talking about the... so you'll give us some details on that, too.
Yeah, yeah, they're talking about security. He's trying to get to know the people.
Right,
but the problem is he's the new governor of New Jersey is coming to New York to get to know the former mayor of New York. It's another more evidence for your analysis. That,
which is that Giuliani will not leave. He will be gone kicking and screaming.
There's
and mark
the
day in your calendar.
The puzzle are coming together for your analysis on this.
And my what was it? My prediction, which is, trust me, if Giuliani keeps this up, I think I have enough knowledge about a Mike Bloomberg to guarantee that they're going to go to the table and say, excuse me, who's running the city anyway?
I was discussing this with Eric Williams last night because he did that story we ran the other day.
Right.
It was a fascinating story about how in the rebuilding of the World Trade Center, they had nobody's ever even approached the mayor-elect, Bloomberg, to get him involved in any of it.
Right. So we'll see what happens. Also, coming up, John Liu, city council member, the first Asian American. He's going to tell us how he's going to deal with Mike Bloomberg. And right after the news...
Hopefully not by ignoring him totally. Like,
right.
I mean, Mayor Giuliani?
Hey, you never know. And again, right after the news, we're going to talk to the mayor of Vieques, Puerto Rico. 7:55 in the morning, and it's 47 degrees in New York. This is WBAI This Morning, Pacifica Radio in New York, 99.5 FM. I'm Santiago Nieves. Here's my friend Paul DiRienzo with the news and full weather forecast for today.
Thank you, Santiago. Barring a late hitch, the Pentagon plans to release a videotape of Osama bin Laden made last month. Officials say the hour-long tape proves the alleged terrorist mastermind was behind the September terror attacks. United States airstrikes have intensified on a mountain stronghold in Afghanistan after the latest al-Qaeda surrender plan fell through earlier today. Tribal fighters have also launched a new ground assault on the Tora Bora complex, but fear al-Qaeda leaders have already fled. New violence and harsh rhetoric in the Middle East. Israel has cut off contact with Yasser Arafat after yesterday's deadly bus ambush and launched retaliatory airstrikes. A Palestinian official calls Israel's latest moves a declaration of war. Along with the holiday cards and gifts, hundreds of thousands of Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents are about to get a different kind of greeting in the mail. The FBI is sending them cards seeking information as it tries to track the source of four anthrax-tainted letters. And Aetna says fewer Americans are signed up for its health plan, so the managed care giant is the latest to announce that it's slashing jobs. The Connecticut-based company plans to cut 6,000 jobs, with two-thirds of the cuts coming in layoffs. The lawyer and fiancé of the man known as Carlos the Jackal said today that she will represent Zacharias Moussaoui, the French citizen indicted for conspiracy in the September 11th attacks. Paris lawyer Isabelle Coutant-Pierre said she would defend Moussaoui's right as a French citizen, such as trying to protect him from the possibility of the death penalty, which France opposes. Moussaoui, a 33-year-old Frenchman of Moroccan descent, now in United States custody, was named Tuesday by a federal grand jury in the first indictment directly linked to the suicide hijackings. He was charged with six felonies, including four that carry the death penalty. Confusion about whether a wheelchair-bound woman had been screened properly forced the evacuation of part of Seattle's main airport. A spokesman for Seattle-Tacoma International says the woman was traveling with her son yesterday. After the son cleared a walk-through metal detector, security staff couldn't recall whether they'd properly screened the mother with a handheld wand. The woman was located within 7 minutes, and officials decided she posed no threat. But the airport's B concourse was closed for an hour and a half, resulting in the delay of at least five flights. An FAA spokesman says security personnel opted for the evacuation so everyone in the concourse could be rescreened. And the United States attorney in Detroit says the Justice Department won't promise to ignore visa violations by people it questions in the terror attack case. The government is seeking to question 5,000 men from Middle Eastern and other countries with terror links. The men aren't considered suspects but are being asked about the al-Qaeda terror network. The Detroit suburbs have a large Arab community. Attorneys for some of the men say they're afraid to come forward because they fear deportation. But United States Attorney Jeffrey Collins says the government still isn't promising to ignore visa violations of those who talk.
And the alleged chairman of militant Jewish, the alleged chairman of the Militant Jewish Defense League and a follower have been arrested on suspicion of plotting to blow up a Los Angeles mosque and the office of an Arab American congressman. The Federal Bureau of Investigation closed in on the two suspects yesterday after one of the suspects received a shipment of explosive powder at his home. More on this story from WBAI's Ginger Otis.
Irvin David Rubin, alleged to be the head of the Jewish Defense League, and Earl Leslie Krugel, alleged to be a leading member of the Jewish Defense League, were arrested last night and charged this morning in U.S. District Court with two federal crimes: conspiring to destroy a building with an explosive device and possessing a destructive device in connection with a crime of violence. The charges are a result of an FBI investigation that reportedly discovered the two suspects were conspiring to construct a bomb to blow up a building housing an Islamic or Arab American political and religious group. The defendants apparently had a list of other potential targets that included the Muslim Public Affairs Council in Los Angeles, the King Fahd Mosque in Culver City, and the offices of United States Congressman Daryl Issa. U.S. Attorney John S. Gordon announced the arrests today.
The bombing plot developed to the point that explosive powder was delivered to Krugel's house last night.